go. All right. So, before we get started, hey, Jenny. Hey, Lisa. Before we get started, really just a quick question, which is that any questions or anything from Saturday that I can just keep in, or things you want clarified that I can keep in the back of my head as we cover what I want to cover tonight, you know, and kind of see if we can. So far, the feedback I've gotten on Saturday's class was that people really like that last part. I should have done more of that. So we will do more of that over the next few weeks. But, okay, I see some of you just. Okay.
All right, I'm looking at my notes trying to remember Saturday.
Saturday we talked about how we've got these techniques to regulate the body. We've got the techniques to regulate the mind, and we're learning techniques, and then I put a few techniques in there for regulating the energy body. And we started talking about how and we're going to talk about this a little bit tonight, is how the physical body is a mirror of the energy body. And when we're, which is a good thing to know. And we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight also. So when we do techniques that regulate the physical body, that's fabulous in the moment. When we learn techniques to regulate the energy body, that's fabulous. And meditation kind of helps us find a place where it takes both of those other skills, regulating the physical body, regulating your energy body, to kind of establish yourself in meditation. And meditation is what allows us to move into what we call the central channel. If you remember, we talked about this, that there are three channels that run along the spine. And there's a right and a left, and then the central channel we call the Sushumna. And what I want to just put out to you, this is not an exactly literal, but it's really close correlation between the two. So when we are trying to regulate the mind, we talk about toggling between the left brain and the right brain. The left brain and the right brain. Yeah. Everybody try and say right brain three times fast, right? So, you know, you toggle back and forth. And the goal is to come up to the prefrontal cortex, right? So we're toggling right brain, left brain, the two hemispheres. But the goal is to move up to this prefrontal cortex up in here. Okay. Interestingly enough, your energy body, remember, there's a channel on the right side, channel on the left side. And we talked briefly, but this is important. The right side of the energy body is the logical, data-driven energy. We call it the solar energy. It's the energy of the physical world where everything is kind of like so. Which is the opposite of the brain is doing. The brain has the creative, more imaginal side on the right side. The left side of the energy body is what we call the lunar, which means it's more intuitional, it's more emotional, it's more receptive. It doesn't have the hard defined edges of the right side. But left side of the body is left side of the brain, which is the data, the logic. And what we need to remember is, first of all, generally speaking, the energy body is the opposite of the physical body. But also, the channels that they come into this, the nostril area, and as you come in with the breath, the channels switch. And so as the nadis, what they're called, as the nadis shift, You've got the nadi from the left nostril coming down the right side of the brain. I mean, the right side of the energy body, making it the data-driven, logical side. You've got the nadi from the right channel crossing over and going down the left side of the energy body, which is the more intuitional, okay? And the equivalent of us moving into the prefrontal cortex, if you remember, we talked about toggle between spelling and counting and toggling over to, oh, what color is it? What shape is it? What would it smell like? Those kinds of questions where you have to be more imaginative. That's, we'd go back and forth to come up to prefrontal. And the question for prefrontal was, I wonder, it just puts us into a whole nother realm. Well, the equivalent of the prefrontal cortex is what we call the Sushumna. It's that central channel. And the central channel comes up, and what you know it as, that the chakra is actually in the center of the head. If you've been studying with me for a long time, you know we've talked about there's this, the chakra is here, it's called the sun center, and back here is called the moon center. And what has happened is that the chakra that's in the middle of your head, right where, what else is in the middle of your head? Recognize an amygdala in there, this whole limbic system? Well, inside there are the pineal and the pituitary glands. The pituitary gland is the very same gland that makes you feel good. They call it the hugging gland, right? It releases oxytocin. Is that how you say it? And, you know, and the amygdala's in there releasing cortisol, and this guy's in there releasing the feel-good hormone. So in the middle of your head, in the energy body, we have the chakra, which corresponds, they often say, to the pineal gland. But the chakra in the center of your head has two poles. It has two polarities, the sun and the moon. And where we come to is we come up to the sun center. This, when we meditate and we lift our gaze to meditate here at the sun center, when we do different techniques that bring us to the sun center, this is the most balanced chakra in your body, right here. This is your balance. This is why we call it the wisdom center, right? I really doubt it's an accident, right? That the two sides of the brain, the two channels of the body, the Sushumna and the prefrontal cortex, that these things are all, they're all different levels of manifestation. I say that and I go, okay, Karen, don't walk down this road. But what they say is in the energy world, it has to exist in the energy world before it exists in the physical world. Okay, so if we're trying to change the physical world, we also need to change the energy world, or the pattern in the energy world is going to keep recreating the same thing in the physical world. So this work we're doing internally is key to long-term transformation.
Okay.
So is that enough for the night? Is that enough technical stuff? No? A little more? So here's what I want to do tonight. Is many of you already know this technique, but it's an underestimated technique, and it's called alternate nostril breathing. Right? Because we've talked about regulating the body. We've talked about regulating the mind. Now we want to regulate our energy body. We want to balance that energy world that is underneath and is the cause of manifesting this physical realm. So when we do alternate nostril breathing, we're breathing in through one nostril. And what we want to do is to imagine that as you breathe it in, it is flowing down and this breath is coming in like a rotor reed, or it's coming in and it's just clearing out all the sludge and it comes to the base of your spine. And as you exhale, it starts to go and it just pushes all that junk right out. Okay? And the key to alternate nostril breathing, which this can be confusing for people, but if you think of it this way, it's really simple. Okay, I've closed one nostril. I'm breathing in to clear one channel. Roto-root, all the way down, come to the spine. Oops, got to open it up, let it all out. And I close it here so it can't come back this way, right? Close it off. Up it goes. Out. Well, now what I'm going to do is breathe in on the same side. And it's like you wipe the table this way and you wipe the table that way. And we're going to come back in and we're going to breathe in this way, cleaning it from this direction, exhaling it from that. We've now gone up and down, cleaned out both sides of the channels in both directions. That's one round. That's one round. Okay? Does that make sense why we're doing it? Does that, any questions on that? I think most of you have done this before. So alternate nostril breathing is a really cool technique, and it's something that even if you just do it, you know, anytime during the day, do three or four. It makes a difference. And the difference is that when we're doing right and left brain prefrontal, that's right into, we're just going right, left, we come up to the prefrontal cortex. When you're working with the energy body, it's a little different. It's like you've got the right channel, the left channel. You're trying to balance them. But it's not like there's a point where you then just, the energy moves into the center channel because of this momentum as much as it is because of your attitude. It's your attitude. It's your thoughts that are affecting these currents. And so you can balance them, but they're not going to go up clean, up through the center channel, if you haven't cleaned up your attitude, if you haven't cleared up your thinking process, if you haven't corrected the misperceptions. And the beauty of it is, it's that we're breathing, we're kind of up and down. Oh, we start to see things a little clearer, and it all works together. And then the day comes, and often this is why retreats are so lovely, right? It's like those energies just open up something in the sushumna. And in the sushumna, the central channel is where you feel the calm, the quiet, the equanimity, the peace. So let's start there, and let's do some alternate nostril breathing. And I will put my glasses back on now that I'm not demonstrating. And I just want to make sure everybody's got it. I mean, most of you know the technique already, but let's give it a go. Okay. So sit comfortably with your back as straight as you can. And so what we do is we close one nostril with the thumb, the same side of the body with the thumb. And then the other side, different traditions say it differently, but in the yoga tradition, and certainly in the yoga tradition, I was looking at my Tibetan tradition, I was trying to remember what they do. They do it differently. We close it with this finger. Now, do you remember in this finger when we were dealing with our holes? This is the finger that releases fear and anxiety, right? So what we're doing is we're holding here, and hold it with your ring finger, because the alternative to fear and anxiety that this is the finger of increasing your well-being, release fear and anxiety to increase the feelings. It's about getting more of what feels good. Okay, so we're going to close and open, if you can, using thumb and ring finger. So just practice that for a moment if you haven't done this before, and see if you can just get the pattern of going back and forth. My glasses are in my way. Back and forth. Okay?
Can you do the thing where you put the fingers up like that?
Oh, I forget. Thank you, Brenda. So we're not going to be doing that long tonight, But what Brenda's referring to is that your arm could get tired. So if you can see Judy on the screen there, she's got her fingers right here. And so if you do this, and it doesn't have to be a big movement. If you see, it's a little movement. Hold on. I got to find you guys again. People are trying to reach me, man. Silence, I think. Up here. And it's just a little movement. It's just a little movement. But this takes the weight of the arm, and it can be a lot more relaxing for people to do the technique. Thank you for reminding me. Okay, so let's try it. Let's find our seat. Spine is as straight as you can. Before we go to it, we're going to take just a moment to take a nice gentle inhale. And as you exhale, softening the face and the neck and the shoulders. And another nice, gentle three-part inhale, deep into the belly, up into the chest. And as you exhale, softening head, neck, shoulders. And then just let that wave move down through the arms and the torso. You can feel your arms and your torso softening. And then let's do one more. Gentle inhale. This time as you exhale, softening from your crown all the way down to the tips of your toes. And then just take a moment to become present. And for you, what does that mean? Does it mean feeling the weight of your body in your seat, the pressure of your bottom, of your feet? Or for you, does it mean resting your attention with the breath right now? And for some of you, it might mean just listening to the sounds around you. And then what we're going to do is we're going to just very gently bring our right thumb up to our right nostril. Close the right nostril. Go ahead and exhale through the left just to clear out that channel. And then we're going to inhale 2, 3, 4. And then we're going to close the left and get rid of that gunk. Exhale 2, 3, 4. Same side, inhale, 2, 3, 4, switch, and now exhale, 2, 3, 4. Now you've done one complete cleansing. So it looks like everybody's got it. I'm going to ask you to find a 3 or 4 count that works for you, and let's do three or four more rounds, okay? If you need me to count for you or demonstrate, wave your hand and I will. Okay, so hang on just a minute, Judy. Let me get with other people's rhythm here. Okay, hold on. Okay, so let's close off the right nostril. Go ahead and exhale, 2, just clear out the channel now. Inhale, 2, 3, 4, switch. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Close it off. Switch. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Same side. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Switch. Exhale, 2, 3, 4. Same side. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Switch and exhale, 2, 3, 4. Now let's all do a couple more rounds on our own in the quiet. Now, if you're new to this technique, just keep doing it a few more rounds to get the patterning. If you've done this technique before, see if you can let a part of your awareness rest in the spinal area along your back. And see if you can begin to notice even the most subtle sense of tingling or heat or movement. It's very subtle. And then the next time you exhale out of the left side, just release the technique. Gently, gently release your hand. And just rest and notice how you feel. And so for just these last couple breaths, as we're just noticing, just gently kind of scan, starting at the top of your neck and the back. Just gently let your attention move down your back, just kind of noticing. If at any point as your attention moves down, do you feel a little sense of buzzing or tingling or vibrating or warmth? Or coolness. It's anything out of the normal. And it doesn't matter if you feel or you don't feel or notice or don't notice anything so much as we're just beginning to say, hey, I want to notice the subtle energies. And once we tell our body we're ready to notice, they'll start to reveal. So for now, let's go ahead and take a gentle inhale. And as you exhale, go ahead and open your eyes. And here's the thing with this technique is it's kind of like a go-to. It's really effective if you're sitting in meditation and you're in that mind frame, but it's also something that you can do anytime. You don't have to be seated in meditation. As I've said over the years, a student of mine was a nurse in the ICU up at Dornbirk Becker's, and she learned to do it. It was so effective at keeping her calm and balancing her energy that she learned to do it without using her hands, because she would do it while she was driving into work and she had to have her hands on the, so she learned by practicing to just and you can. It's like you can get there. So it's, I don't know, sometimes I like to throw that out there because it opens up possibilities of the usefulness of this technique. So, okay. So, any questions? Any thoughts?
Hey, Karen.
Yeah.
So I've done it where you hold at the top. Is that, does it make a difference whether, you know, you breathe in, you hold for like the same count that you inhaled and hold and then exhale for the same amount of time or?
Yeah, that's definitely a valid way to go. And here's the steps of working with this technique. Start where we just did, just a simple, easy 3 count, 4 count in and out to just get the hang of the rhythm. To kind of get yourself attuned to and kind of your mind wrapped around what you're doing energetically, right? And kind of master this part. Just get the rhythm. Then we begin to add a hold at the top of the breath. But if you add a hold at the top, then you want to add a hold at the bottom. And so in the beginning, say you did a 4-count inhale, you might hold for one. And you will actually find the more you do this technique, you will naturally want to hold. It's like you're going to breathe in and you just naturally want to pause. And that pause is the Sushumna. Right? So that was, you know, next classes, but that's okay. We're here tonight. That pause is a Sushumna. And then you exhale and you're going to naturally just want to pause again. It just happens because that's how these things are. They naturally reveal themselves. When we get into increasing the length of the alternate nostril, often then we're engaging Ujjayi breath so that we can slow it down and you can get to a 10, 15, 20 count inhale. Well, okay. Let's just say 10 on one side, hold, 10 on the other side, hold. And at that point, you find a balanced in and out that you can do comfortably. And you start with the hold and you do that for days, weeks, they traditionally tell you. And then you begin to increase the hold. So you say you gotten to where you were inhaling for 8. I'd start by holding for 1. And I'd do that for a while. And then I'd increase my hold to 2. Then I'd increase it to 3. But we're Americans, so we don't do it that way. So what we do is we breathe in 8. And we go, how long can I hold? I can hold till 4 or 5. Okay. Whew. And then we try and do you see what I mean? I mean, that's the reality of what we do. Yeah. But I had to tell you the traditional way, which is to build up 1 count at a time on the hold. And then once you've reached that point, you know, there are patternings that they tell you, you can work with and play with, but I would really encourage you to just follow your intuition and trust the internal guidance of the breath to guide you.
Okay.
But so, yeah, the pause, the hold is in the Sushumna. Okay. So you're balancing right, left, pause. We're resting in the Sushumna. We're training ourselves to find that. Okay. That was a great question. So anybody else? Jenny. Yeah.
I really like this technique, but every time I do it, my right nostril is like clogged. And so I try and relax, but every time I go to the right side, it like makes me stressed out because I can't breathe much air in. Do you have any does that happen to some people?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 And there's couple different philosophies on this. Hardcore yoga would say, breathe through it anyways, and if you keep on breathing, it will open. But the key is to not breathe it with stress. If you're anxious and stressed, that's not going to open it. So the key is to just begin the process, and you know it's a little tight, but it's okay. It's okay. You just do your 3 or 4 count, get as much air as you can, and then 3 or 4 count, the exhale, and just... It's almost like you're being kind to it and gentle to it. And eventually it will open. Now, some people would say, just force it, right? Just do it. And the way we do things here, we really encourage us to be gentle. Because it's the one thing we as Americans don't know how to do. We do not know how to be gentle with ourselves. And so if you find that it's causing stress because you like the technique, but it's causing stress, then I would really recommend just going in from a place of, okay, we like this, but okay, I can barely get any air in. Okay. Oh, nostril, it's okay. I mean, it's okay to talk to ourselves, right? Okay, do the best you can. Good job. You know, just like you would to somebody you were trying to encourage. If you've ever taken, I don't know anybody here. Well, one of these days, you guys got to take Agnieszka's little yoga class she does. She is like this most enthusiastic, good job, you did it. Yes. And that's what we want to bring, that kind of gentleness and encouragement. So how about that, Jenny?
Okay.
It's absolutely normal. It's absolutely normal. Yeah. In fact, I was, my guru, it was like, I was taught that you're supposed to have your routine. You do rain or shine, death or sickness or illness or happiness. You sit and you meditate. And if you're sick as a dog, you still breathe through your alternate nostril. And I don't quite subscribe to that myself anymore, because being gentle to myself became more important than that. But I think the not giving up and being gentle as you work through it is probably the most valuable. Which leads me into my next little technique for us tonight, which, if you notice on the sheet, it said alternate nostril, and I think it's Ujjayi breath. And then it said something about waking up with a new thought. So I want to give you this other technique, folks. Because remember I said attitudinal. Attitudinal is what's going to get you into the sushumna. What was that, Lisa? Other Lisa, Oregon. Oh, you're okay. All right. Attitude. So I don't know about y'all, but there's mornings where I wake up and my body is tight, and there's a sense of about the day. And years ago, there was a real sense of as I would start my day. I called it dread. And the dread came from I had what I wanted to get done that day. And a lot of it included things I hadn't got done the days before. And this feeling, that anxiety of wanting things and none of it happening because life was intervening with my plan, right? So I'd wake up in the morning already behind the eight ball, just feeling like this. And so I learned this very simple technique. And I would wake up, and this is what I want you to, I'm going to send you into small little groups here in a bit, because I want you to find your way into this thought. Okay. In those days, this is where my mind went. I wouldn't say it this way today, but I would say this is how I said it then. I said, okay, God, today I really, really just want to get the laundry folded. I want to get to the store, get shopping. I want to get the bills paid. I don't want to get that cleaned out. And I need to get that thing written for blah, blah, blah. That's what I want to do today. And then I go, okay, and I just wanted you to know, but I'm going to show up for whatever you bring me. I will show up for the day that you bring me. And I put on my refrigerator, back in the days when we had all those magnets and things on our refrigerator, and I put down this one. I think this comes out of the Jewish tradition. There's your plan, and there's God's plan. And your plan doesn't matter. There's your plan, and there's God's plan, and your plan doesn't matter. And it was like a mantra that I had to work with for years. Till I had trained myself to let go of my need to have my day go the way I'd planned, for things to get done when I wanted them done, the way I wanted them done. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do is to wake up in the morning with the thought that you're going to release your agenda for the day, and you can talk to whoever it is and say, I'd really like these things to get done today. But end by saying, but it's more important. I'm going to learn to show up. I'm going to learn to show up for the miracles that you bring into my life. And you don't have to use you. It doesn't have to be person, you know. I'm seeing some of the mom's faces in here going, oh, Karen, no, no, no. That's you don't understand. I'm going to go, I do understand. This is where I got there was I had the four kids. And, you know, it was like my life, I couldn't control anything. And I was a wreck. So what I'm going to ask you to do now, I'm going to send you into small groups. How many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 3 groups of 3. And I'm going to ask you to share with each other, what is it that you would say? How would you translate this thought? How would you translate this thought so that you can actually use it tomorrow morning? So in other words, I don't want this to be just some abstract idea Karen gave you tonight. It's like, what are you going to say to yourself tomorrow morning when you wake up? Because for some of you, it may not be God. It may be, okay, universe, or it may be, okay, gremlins or menehunes or, you know, whatever. Okay? Because this is how we get into this attitudinal. And our anxiety is coming from fear. And a lot of our fear and anxiety is coming because we are still resisting life the way it is. And we have an agenda. And our goal is to learn how to release that agenda, release our resistance to the way things are, so we can show up for life as it is. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. So everybody understand what we're doing here? Got it? Okay, so let me, come on, breakout rooms. We'll do 3 breakout rooms. My computer's really slow tonight. And let's do, here we go. All right, are you guys ready? I might pop in, but I'll be incognito. And what are you going to say to yourself tomorrow morning to help you show up for life as it is and release your agenda? Okay, see you in a few. So I did get to hear a few fun ones in there. One of the groups, if I wake up and the dishes don't get done till after the kids are in bed, that's okay, right? That's a good one. Where's Ramon? Ramon, what was that quote you read? Was that from Michael Singer's book? You're muted. I'm sorry, you're muted. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm on my phone today, so I'm having some issues figuring out what to do. But yeah, okay. It was the surrender, willingly participate in life's dance with a quiet mind and an open heart.
I like that.
Yeah.
Could you say it one more time for people?
Sure. And I'll try to read my handwriting this time. Surrender, willingly participate in life's dance with a quiet mind and an open heart. So I got that out of that book. I said, this is a keeper.
Yeah. And so that's an example. It's like, okay, life's a dance. I'm showing up for the dance today, right? It's, what is the metaphor? You know, it's a river flowing. I'm going to just try and ride it downstream. What is yours that you can do? And then the idea is that when you first wake up in the morning, you actually don't hold this thought first. The first thing you think is, the thought, and do it right now. Think about someone who makes your heart smile. Okay, do you see all the smiles? Did you see the smiles? Think of someone who makes your heart smile. Make that conscious choice. When you wake up and you feel that normal, habitual, you know, protection, defense against the day, cut right through it with the thought of someone who makes your heart smile. And right then and there, you've broken the grip of that pattern and follow that with, okay, life, I'm showing up for the dance. You get to lead, you know, or whatever your metaphor is that works for you. And see if for this week you can really just begin to change that patterning at the beginning of the day. The way you literally get out of bed and greet the day, can we change that pattern? Can we start to change that pattern? Okay? And then so that's the ad natural that's going to help bring us into the central channel, which is where we all want to get, right? And then the other technique I wanted to share with you tonight. And for those of you who weren't there on Saturday, we're talking about how the 45 minutes isn't quite working. And so we are going to go ahead and go a little bit longer. And we also talked about how on the we were supposed to have our last class on the 7th, but we're in a retreat and the retreat center has not gotten their high speed, the internet they thought they were going to have, because everything's delayed these days. And so there's a good chance I'm not going to have the resources to do the Zoom from the retreat. So we're going to just postpone it out to the 14th. And I just want to start letting everybody know now. So that will be our last class on the 14th, as long as that's a Saturday. But so can I share with you, this is a technique, I've talked about this with you folks before, but this is, when we're talking about fear and dealing with fear, this is one of the most beautiful ways to begin to face our fears. Now, we're taught to stand up to our fear, get strong with our fear, and don't let it get the better of us, right? I mean, we're not taught to engage our fear. And so what we're going to do right now, we're going to do just a short example of it. Because once you get the example of it, you've got it. But in a situation like this, I don't want to take all of us into that place on a Zoom at the end of the day where I can't really, really monitor what's going on, okay? So here's what we're going to learn to do today. We are going to learn to befriend our fear, to literally look at it, but not just look at it. We are going to learn what it means, and I love this phrase, invite our fear to tea. We're going to learn how to invite our fear to tea. And this idea of invite it to tea is a metaphor. And so when we do the visualization, I'm going to ask you to use what works for you. Now, some of you, if you have a history of going to tea parties where your grandma or your aunt made little tea sandwiches and had tea and hot little things and poured you this beautiful tea and it was really so sweet, you could use something like that. For some of you, maybe you went with somebody to tea at the, what is the name of the Empress in Victoria, and you actually sat down for real English tea with the scones and the whipped, what is that stuff called, Lisa? The whipped cream. It's not called whipped cream. They call it something else.
Isn't it clotted?
Thank you. Clotted cream. Yes. You know, and it's an event. Or it may be that what works for you is the thought you would invite somebody over and you would make them a great cup of coffee or hot chocolate or something. And you would kind of prepare where you're going to sit and you would make it special. This technique is a ritual. It's not like, oh, you're passing me on the street and I want to say hi, fear. We are literally preparing the ground. We're preparing something special. We're doing something special for our fear. And hopefully, as I'm talking right now, you're thinking about what is going to be your way? What is it that you would do if you were going to invite somebody over just to get to know them? And you wanted it to be special. And you wanted it to be special. So have that in your head. All right? And then what we're going to do is we're going to invite our fear. And I think actually at this point, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just guide you through it. And I want to assure you right up front, this is just an introduction. We're not going to stay long. It's a brief visit. It's a short tea. But I'm going to ask you to engage with it. And some of you are visual people. It's going to be real and you're going to be tasting that clotted cream and you're going to be able to see all the different decorations painted on the teapot. And for others of you, you're going to sense it. You're going to sense it. And sensing it is fine. Okay? So let's find our seat. Comfortable seat. Okay? And I know some of you have probably done a version of this technique before, but I'm going to ask you to follow along with this version that we're doing today, okay? So you're comfortable, you're in your seat, and begin by just doing what you know how to do. Take that deep breath, and as you exhale, soften your face and your neck and your shoulders. With that next inhale, as you exhale, soften all the way down into your seat and feel yourself seated. in this place that you have prepared for this person you want to get to know. And with that last nice, gentle exhale, feel yourself softening all the way from the crown of your head to the tips of your toes. Your body's soft, no resistance, just soft. And now take a look at the place that you're preparing for this invitation, this time with your fear, and go ahead and prepare it. Go ahead and add a few things. If you want to add little candies or treats, if you want to add, you know, heat up the teapot, just kind of in your mind, make it special somehow. And hold a sense inside you that this is special. Some of you might even resonate with the word, this is sacred work. So let this be a beautiful, beautiful ceremonial preparation. And then seat yourself in your seat. And your other chair that you've prepared for your fear is open, and literally now invite your fear to come and sit with you at the table. And pour your fear a cup of whatever you've brought to serve. And as you tend your fear and serve this drink to your fear, notice, is your fear young, old? What age is your fear? Is your fear really neat and tidy and pulled together, or is it disheveled and sloppy, or is it relaxed and at ease, or is it tight and nervous? See if you can just get a sense of your fear sitting there with you, the age that it is. Is it a male or a female? And then just kindly, like you really want to know, you're really interested, ask your fear, what are you afraid of? See what it says. And you don't have to fix it or anything. All you want to know is, what are you afraid of? And see how you respond when you hear or sense the answer. And now say to your fear, oh, of course you are. I understand. I understand. I understand. And then offer your fear some kind of gentle, easy treat just to comfort it. In your mind, in your visualization, if you don't have something with you, just offer something you think your fear might like that would comfort it. Could be a chocolate, could be a stuffed animal, but just offer your fear something that would comfort it. And then let it know that it was wonderful to meet them. This is going to be a short visit today, and you'd really like them to come back so you can get to know them better. And just imagine that you're saying it to your fear the way you would to, you know, if you had me over, you know, and it was a short visit and we didn't have enough time. And you would look forward to maybe having me back. Can you feel that about your fear? Just a little. And if not, that's okay. Just notice. And then you decide now. You get to choose here. Either you can leave your fear right here, feeling safe, or ill at ease, whatever it's feeling, and you can leave and say, I need to go, or you can let your fear leave and you stay. Just notice which one feels better to you. And gently say goodbye, and you are looking forward to having tea again sometime. And then let the meditation dissolve, and for a moment just notice and be with whatever you just experienced. What did you find out? Was there anything that surprised you? And then before we come out of the meditation, just gently bring your right hand up to your chest and feel the touch of your hand, the warmth, the tenderness, tenderly, gently. And as you hold it there and you feel the touch, the warmth, just say, whisper to yourself, may I be safe. May I be whole. May I be happy. May I be safe. May I be whole. May I be happy. And let's just add another one. May I be kind. May I be strong. One more time. May I be kind. May I be strong. And rest here now for just a few more moments, feeling the weight and the touch of your hand on your heart. Soft, present. No resistance. And then when you're ready, just gently inhale. Gently release your hands. And then just take a moment to just kind of reflect on what just happened. If you have your journal and you want to write something in it. And if not, at least reflect and see if you can just really mentally hold what you just experienced. Because this is tender, tender work. We must go gently. We must go slowly. And we must be kind. And so just a couple more comments, and I'll open it up to questions or comments. But this process we did, you now have established that space. And you can invite your fear anytime. And what's most important just to remember is that only do little bits. You don't have to go any faster than you can comfortably go. Because as you remember, this fear is a part of you. And your ability to be kind to it, to engage it, to get to know it, to hold it, to embrace it, that is the mirror for your own, that integrating that we talked about. Okay. So any thoughts, any questions, comments, how that went?
Can I ask a quick question about the prior technique?
Sure.
Or is the ultimate, is that primarily, would you boil that down to basically being balancing?
That it's alternate nostril breathing?
Yeah.
It's purifying and balancing.
Okay.
Yes. Purifying is a key piece, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, I wrote some notes and stuff about what that meditation just did, but I was kind of surprised when you said, you know, what would it look like? Like, I think you might have even asked how big it is, but mine was like a teeny, teeny, tiny thing in the chair, which I thought was really interesting because I would expect fear to be like, wah, you know, and it was very small.
Interesting, isn't it, Brenda? And what was the response when you saw that? How did that affect you to notice that, to realize that?
I think I just thought it was strange. I mean, it was not what I expected. Yeah.
How many of you, the fear was different than you expected? Or it wasn't anything that was bigger or stronger than you? Did that question, Ramon? It was bigger and stronger than you?
No, it wasn't. It was about the same size, but it manifested itself in a weird way for me. So just still thinking about it a little bit.
Mm. Okay. And you wrote it down then, so you have it to reflect on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there's a lot of symbolism, right? In what shows up. And so far, when I've done this with people, generally the fear is younger. Mm-hmm. It's not as strong. And there's a sense it's a surprise, but there's a lot of, this is you talking to you, right? So I like what Ramon said, reflecting on it. Reflect on it at a pace that you can handle. Okay. Yeah. This is tender stuff. So I think the way I understand it, we don't have class this Saturday. But we do next Monday night. And I believe I've created a conflict for myself in that I'm going to my aunt's memorial service in Dallas over the weekend. And I think there might be a plane ride happening around the time of this class. But I haven't had a chance to really quite double check on that one. But so I will let you know. I think this class I'm definitely back for. It might be the 4 o'clock one that I may be still flying somewhere. So
yeah, it does tell me that you're out of town that day, Karen.
Yeah. Sometimes the details escape me. I'm a little bit in my right brain a lot, you know? No. Yeah. My right brain, my left side. Yeah. Anything else, Steve? Yeah.
No, I was sorry. Just the scheduling. Do we have the HMTT this weekend though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We do.
Oh, this weekend, yes.
This weekend, yeah. I'll be doing that from HMTT Judy. That's the teacher training. Yeah. I'll be doing that from Dallas. Yeah. So.
And just in case anybody did not know, or I came in just a minute or two late, but it is Karen's birthday today. So everybody say happy birthday to Karen.
Happy birthday, Karen.
I wasn't going to let you say that.
Thank you, everybody. This has been really nice. I'm usually very private and quiet about my birthday. I don't like a lot of attention, you know, but today somehow it got on Facebook. I think Brenda, with all the candle time, all that stuff we did, somehow it got there. And I have had more birthday wishes today, more calls, more. It's been divine. I had no idea how good it would feel to have. It's just been beautiful. So thank you. Thank you.
I actually figured out what happened with your birthday on Facebook. So if you want to ask me about it.
All right. Well, I think Ramon had one more thing and then I want to let you all go. And if you need to go right away, that's fine.
Yeah, just one thing. I think you talked about it initially, and I came a little bit late, but about the energy, the way it kind of turns as it goes down. So, maybe I'll just look at the recording again, but if you have a quick.
If the energy is coming in through the nostrils, and we'll go over this in detail at the retreat. If the energy channels are inside, right, they come up through the nostrils, right and left. And yep. then when they come down in here, they cross.
Okay.
Somewhere in here, they cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so the energy channel that is on the left is actually the right side of the body. And okay. the right is actually the left side, which explains why the creative side of the brain is the right hemisphere, but the creative side of the energy body is the left. It's because it's changed.
Didn't you say that when they go down through the body, they cross like a double helix? So don't they keep crossing throughout the body?
They do, but that's an important thing to understand when we start learning and talking about chakras. But this right here is, think of it as, it's easier to think of it, and they teach it, this is how they train it, is that it comes from the nostrils, it crosses, and then they each go straight down. And then they come down and they turn under the, at the base of the spine, and they go back up. They're kind of connected at the base. And so every time you breathe in, it comes down. It very quickly crosses through the sushumna, and then you exhale. But even if it's a microsecond, every inhale and exhale, there's a tiny bit of prana that is entering the sushumna to balance you. So when we do alternate nostril breathing, and we get to the point Ramon talked about where we're actually in that pause. Anytime our technique Hong Song, when we work with Hong Song, those pauses, that's why they're so profound. That's all time in the sushumna. That's balancing you. Okay, that was probably more information than you needed, but.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Good question, Nat. All right, everybody. Louise, was there someone more thing?
No, just said thank you.
You're so welcome.
And happy birthday.
Thank you. Good night, everybody. Good night, Judy, Lisa, Ramon. Good night, Brenda, Steve, Louise, Nat.